We've been looking the last few weeks about some of the miracles of Jesus and just that great reminder that even though it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus performed these miracles, that he's still performing miracles today. And the thing that we've tried to learn through each of these miracles, we've looked at the very first miracle that Jesus performed when he turned the water into wine. He did that at a wedding, and once he did that first miracle, then the clock started ticking on his journey to the cross. And of course, by now we have celebrated Easter and we remember the greatest miracle of all, but we've been looking at some of those miracles, and it's one of the things that, you know, we can learn in our hearts and our minds, not just the actual physical miracles, but what we can learn from these miracles to apply them in our life with our thinking and with our emotions. And really, really enjoyed doing these on Mondays and Tuesdays the last few weeks. We've also looked at the one where Jesus calmed the storm. The disciples were on a boat. Then we looked at him feeding the 5,000 people. And so we just really, really enjoyed looking at these. Last week we looked at the one where Jesus, some friends had a friend that he needed a physical healing. They wanted to get him to Jesus, but they couldn't get in the room, the house where Jesus was teaching. And so they climbed up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and lowered their friend down to be healed by Jesus. And so if you missed any of these programs, I hope you go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org, and watch those programs, listen to them. We actually do have a YouTube channel that most of our programs are on. Sometimes we have technical difficulties, and so not all of them are on there, but the majority are. And if you just go to YouTube, you just type in our name, Hope Is Here, and my name, Greg Horn. And if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel, we would greatly appreciate that. But you can watch a lot of the programs that I share both on the radio and on our podcast. But let's take a look at, I think, the one miracle that we can learn the most from, because there's so many disparate aspects to it. And it's the one where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And it's in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. And what basically had happened was that there was a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, a village where both Mary and his sister Martha also lived. And Jesus spent some time there. He was really, really close friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In fact, Mary was the same one who performed, who poured perfume on Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So you may remember her from that story. But Lazarus was sick, so these sisters sent word to Jesus and said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And so when Jesus heard this, he said that Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. It's actually for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then it goes on to say in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, but he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he finally said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," the disciples said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered them, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After Jesus had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But now let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Do you sense a little bit of sarcasm there? That's why I love the Bible. People say, "Oh, the Bible's boring." No, it's not, friends. I mean, there are some great stories. There's sarcasm. There's humor. There's dysfunctional people, dysfunctional families. I mean, man, it's the same thing 2,000 years later. Even though the Bible written a long time ago, we can still relate to so many of the people and the stories in the Bible. So then upon Jesus' arrival in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And so many people had come to visit Mary and Martha and comfort them. And Martha heard that Jesus was there, so she went on out to meet him. But Mary actually stayed at their home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus responded to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, they noticed how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Oh, friends, I've been there before. Have you? You know, just sometimes saying, "God, you know, why didn't you change this? If you've been here, why didn't you show up?" You know, I've answered, I've asked and prayed, why hadn't you been here? Why haven't you shown up? Why haven't you answered this prayer? When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the people that had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid Lazarus?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then the shortest Bible verse in the Bible, verse 35 in John chapter 11, says, "Jesus wept." Then the Jews said, "See how Jesus loved him?" But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Once again, friends, people just doubting Jesus, questioning him, just like we still do today. Jesus once more moved deeply, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of Lazarus, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." In fact, the King James version of this story says that Martha said, "Lord, he will stinketh." But you got to love that, but it's true, okay? In verse 40, it goes on to say in John chapter 11, Jesus said to Mary and Martha and all the people gathered there, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, "Take off your grave clothes and let him go." Say it one more time. Jesus said to them, "Take off Lazarus' grave clothes and let him go." Such a powerful story here. And just so many things that I think we can learn from this miracle of Jesus. And I want to share 7 things with you. I'll get through 2 or 3 of those today, then the rest tomorrow. But I'm just so glad to know that Jesus always teaches us, friends. In fact, the disciples in verse 8 called Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. And I'm so thankful that over 2,000 years later, Jesus is still teaching us. I know I've seen it in my life and hundreds of others. How about you? Has Jesus ever taught you anything? The first thing that I want us to look at that I think we can learn from this miracle of Lazarus is that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It says in verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. I mean, John had a front row seat, friends, of when Jesus died. And yet, he knew how much Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And so, I'm thankful that, you know, the sisters knew that Jesus loved them, and John saw how much that Jesus loved them. And as I was reading that, preparing for today, I think somebody, you know, listening or watching on our YouTube channel, you just need to be reminded how much Jesus loves you. I know maybe life's been hard. You're like, you know, Greg, it's only, my goodness, you know, we still got over half a year left, and yet 2025 has already been a long year for me. And, you know, friends, I just want to remind you, you know, we sang this simple song as kids, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Remember that little song we sang as kids? Friends, it's still true today. And yet, though, as adults, I know life can be really, really hard and difficult. But I want to remind you, just like it says there twice in the first five verses of John 11, that Jesus loves you. A second thing that we can learn from the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, that sometimes Jesus' timing is not our timing. Sometimes Jesus' timing is not our timing. I mean, remember there, after Jesus heard, it said that he stayed where he was for two more days. And you got to remember, Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, okay? He loved this family, loved these two sisters and brother. And yet, he did not come for two more days. And I'm sure you could tell they didn't like that they had to wait. They said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would have lived. And I have to admit, a lot of times, I don't like waiting. I mean, you know, we live in a microwave society. You know, you can get food quickly. I mean, you can call restaurants ahead now and get your meal ready cooked. You pull up and boom, it's ready for you. Bring it right out to you. With Amazon, we can have almost anything within 24 hours. And yet, friends, I'm learning that, you know, God's not in the microwave business. He's in the crock pot business. You know, what do you mean by that, Greg? Well, we all know that, to me, I mean, I say we all know, I think it's 100%, but maybe somebody will disagree with me, so I'll say 99%. But, man, there's a big difference in a meal that's cooked in a crock pot all day versus one that was just put in the microwave for 3 or 4 minutes, right? Oh, it just tastes so much better. And I just think God's in the crock pot business. When we have to wait, we just appreciate things more, and we know that God is in them. I love this story I heard. A guy said once to God, hey, God, what's a million years to you? And God said, a second. So then the man said to God, what's $1 million to you? And God said, a penny. So then the man said to God, would you give me a penny? God said, yes, I will, just a second. I love that. Please don't send me any emails or comments on that one. I know it's bad, but it's funny. And, you know, God's timing is just not our timing, friends. And yet I'm thankful that he teaches us things through seasons of waiting. In fact, I'm really excited because tomorrow I'm going to share some things that we can learn while we're in the season of waiting. In fact, I'm going to base it off of Psalm 27, verse 14. I'm going to close today's program with this verse, and then we're going to go in more depth for things we can learn from this verse tomorrow when we're in a season of waiting. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That's Psalm 27, verse 14. Thanks for listening. If you've been blessed by this program, I hope you'll share it with somebody else. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Ladies, join us May 10th at 10 a.m. for brunch and to hear Emmy Award-winning TV news anchor and author of Controlled Burn, Brooke Martin. Brooke is a former guest of Hope Is Here and will share Emmanuel, God Is With Us. This free event will be in Lexington at Gardenside Christian Church, Saturday, May 10th at 10 a.m. RSVP at GardensideCC.org. That's GardensideCC.org.
No matter how bad it is, God always has a plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, God is committed to the salvation of souls. He will bless you coming and going, and He will be so good to you that you will want to serve Him.
That was Pastor Terry Lewis with Faith Point Church. If you'd like to hear more, you can tune in Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. or catch it again at 11:15 a.m. here on 99.1 FM WJMM.
Life.